Outer city of Euclidia has a new surprise to offer in each of its giant rooms. This weird colony beneath the sea, composed of 13 immense natural caverns, improved and strengthened by the Euclidean scientists, has been the prison for the adventuring Gregory party for some time. Strange things have happened to different members of the party, and the most recent, and perhaps strangest of all, is the addition of the girl submarine commander, who has been removed from her position as a Euclidean and sent to join Mrs. Gregory. Jerry and Joan are talking about this as they approach the entrance to the largest of the underwater caves, and one which they have not seen before.
Well, gee whiz, Joan. If Tex and your mother and this Euclidean girl are so blame sure we can get away from here, what are you so afraid of?
Please, Jerry, do not speak so freely. We may be overheard.
Not along here. That girl commander said we could talk in this room just the same as if we were outdoors.
I wonder if she will remain loyal to us.
Oh, sure she will.
I know that you are very sure of the attractiveness of your world, Jerry, but it does not hold everyone. Each of the Euclideans could have a place of prominence in your world if he chose, yet they remain here. And three members of the crew of Mother's boat have become loyal Euclideans.
Oh, don't you believe it. Those fellows are just working for the Euclideans to keep them happy. You'll see whose side they're on when the time comes to escape from here.
I hope you are correct, Jerry. But in any event, I'm sure you speak too freely of escape.
Well, okay, I won't say any more about it. But we'll escape just the same.
Is this the entrance we're to use?
Oh, it must be. It's the only one near here.
Then let us enter.
Well, sure. Come on.
Oh, Jerry.
Golly, Whiskers, Joan. There's an airplane flying around this room.
You are right, Jerry. That is a small airship of the type employed in your world.
And imagine a room big enough to fly one of those things around. Watch it now. It's going to land.
Jerry, there is no one in that plane.
There ain't what?
Not ain't.
No, it wasn't either. You're right. That cockpit is empty. But that little plane was doing a good job of flying around the cave.
It must be radio controlled.
If it is, they sure know their business. That landing was the smoothest thing I ever saw.
How large would you estimate this chamber to be?
Well, I'm not used to rooms this size. And things fool you around this crazy place. Well, I'll bet it's at least 2 miles across and pretty near a mile high.
That would be my estimate, too.
Oh, wonder they can fly airships in here. But why are they doing it?
I should say that was obvious. They are testing the plane in some manner.
Well, sure they are. But why test a thing like that? Well, they've got rocket planes here that will go 1,000 miles an hour. Why would they be playing around with a little old ship like that?
That I do not know.
Well, I'll bet I'll find out pretty soon. G-47 said we could ask as many questions as we wanted to. And here's where I ask some.
Of whom are you going to ask them?
Yeah, and it might be a good idea to find somebody to talk to. This is the emptiest, lonesomest room I've seen since we came here.
There must be someone who was observing and controlling the flight of that small plane.
Quiet, Joan. Listen.
Jerry, isn't
it that... It sure is. Why, that must be the old guy who experiments with notes of music. What's his name?
Octavo.
Yeah, that's the fella. He's trying to figure out a note that will bust up something right now, I'll bet.
I believe the sound came from behind that steel screen over there.
Well, let's try it over and see.
Yes.
You're right, Joan. There's the old boy. Hello there, Octavo.
He's very deaf, Jerry. I do not believe he heard you.
Well, let's get around in front of him. Hello there. I said hello.
How are you?
I'm Jerry Hall.
And I am Joan Gregory.
I know you. You were once Cleostra, the living symbol of the perfect Euclidean calendar. Now you are an outcast.
The choice was mine.
The choice of the outcast is usually his own.
Hey, look here, mister. We didn't come around here for you to make wisecracks to us.
Was there any purpose in your coming?
Sure there was.
Then state it. I'm busy.
We will not interrupt, but G-47 gave us permission to visit various parts of Euclidia and ask questions regarding anything we did not understand.
And there's plenty we don't understand.
I can believe that of you.
Well, never mind that stuff. Is it all right if we watch what you're doing?
If G-47 has given his permission... It is not within my province to deny your request.
No, okay. We won't get in the way. What are you doing?
Did you observe the flight of that robot-controlled plane?
Yeah.
We witnessed the end of a flight as we entered this chamber.
I am working with the destructive musical notes, searching for the keynote of the motor in that plane. When I find it, The plane will crash.
I should think it would.
I will be interested in studying the results.
To try it out on real planes in our world someday, huh?
Who knows?
Well, I don't know, but I've got a pretty good idea.
Keep your ideas and hold your tongue.
Please, Jerry, we will not be allowed to witness this experiment if you anger Octavo.
Oh, okay, I'm shut.
I believe I am approaching the correct note. I will send the plane aloft once more.
How do you do that?
Thales, the master electrician, is operating the controls for me. You may see him in the tower yonder.
There he is, Jerry.
Oh, I see him, and I don't like him.
Jerry, was that not sudden?
Sudden? Worse than that. Well, that little plane just jumped into the air.
You will observe the plane. It is flying rapidly in irregular curves and loops. Watch it intently as I strike a variety of notes on the musical glasses.
When you hit that other note, I thought the motor of the plane started acting up.
There was a change in the sound of the plane.
I observed that. However, the plane continued unharmed. The musical note was, therefore, not perfect.
Yep. It's still flying, but that came mighty close.
I will signal Thales to land the plane and rearrange the scale of these glasses.
That is very clever, is it not, Jerry? The manner in which that small plane is controlled from a distance.
Sure is, but I've seen that done back home. What I'm interested in is this musical glass thing.
You will observe that I will change the level of the liquid in several of these glasses.
Well, which glass do you use now?
That I cannot determine without going over them.
Well, you've got to do all that all over again?
Precisely.
You are impatient, Jerry.
But this is liable to go on all day.
All day? Young man, I have spent a lifetime at this work, and I've isolated only a few of the destructive notes.
Well, we'll walk around and look at something else while you get tuned up.
You have my permission to do as you please. But let me warn you to remain out of range of the musical notes.
We will be very careful.
See that you are.
Come on, Joan. Let's see what we can see around here.
I believe there is little of interest in this cavern. It appears to be merely a testing laboratory for planes.
Well, what's the matter with that for interesting? A testing laboratory for airships, and the ceiling of the place is 400 feet below the ocean.
It is unique.
Yeah, I guess it is. Hey, look, Joan. Is that a real airplane?
Where?
Right here, this little thing.
It appears to be.
I never saw anything that small. It was supposed to fly except the...
Oh, do not touch it.
Oh, I wouldn't hurt it any.
Nevertheless, I would advise you to leave it alone.
Oh, okay. Sounds like October's getting ready to try it again.
The little airplane is still standing idly.
Well, I guess the old boy knows he hasn't even got a note to close to what he needs.
There is the control tower, Jerry.
And Thales looks like he's got some fun out of doing something to us.
I think that Thales and Keops are now both very dangerous enemies.
And I know they are. G-47 punished both of them for letting that rocket plane crash while Tex and I were along. And they acted like it was our fault.
The captain's quick action in saving all of your lives made Keops and Thales look very foolish. And the Euclideans do not enjoy being the object of ridicule.
Well, I don't think anybody does. But it's too late to worry about it now.
Did you notice, Jerry, that there are clouds up near the ceiling of this cavern?
Clouds? Well, by Jim, you're right, Joan. And that's sure something to tell the folks. A room under the ocean so high that it has clouds in it.
Of course, the clouds might easily be formed by vapors arising from the damp floor of the cave.
Something going on again.
The old man is striking his musical glasses.
And the plane's taking off again. Maybe we'll see something this time.
A number of the notes have been struck, and there is no obvious effect on the plane.
The old boy's staying right with it, though. He must think he's got something.
He has unlimited patience.
One thing you've got to say for Thales, he sure knows how to run that plane by remote control.
Jerry, I believe Octavo is nearing the solution of his problem.
What makes you think so?
He is striking that one note continuously.
Yep, he is. Maybe that's the one. We'd better watch that little plane mighty close now. Oh, boy! He pretty near had it that
time. The motor was stopped for a moment, but it is running perfectly again. He's striking that note again.
And you can hear it. It's longer. It seems to stay in the air.
Jerry, that motor has stopped.
And the plane is falling.
No, the motor is functioning again.
Boy, that was close. I wonder what he'll do now.
He's repeating that note.
Yep. And this time he's really making it stay in the air.
motor is uncertain. No, it has stopped.
He's got it, Joan. He's got it this time for sure.
The plane is falling. Although Thales is working the controls in an attempt to keep it afloat.
He'll never keep that ship up. Look, Joan, the motor wasn't the only thing the musical note hit. The wings. See how loose and floppy they are?
The entire plane is going to pieces.
It is. It is going to crash. Gee whiz.
Oh, Jerry, that was terrifying.
I'll say it was. Suppose that had been a big plane with people in it.
Perhaps a human pilot in the plane could have kept it aloft.
Not a chance. Nobody can fly him when the wings come off. I've heard Captain Bradford say that.
Well, young man, you do not seem to be in such a light mood now. Did you enjoy my little demonstration?
No, I didn't enjoy it, but it was good.
That was my meaning.
Octavo, could you have done the same thing to a larger plane with a human pilot at the controls?
Certainly. Probably with less effort.
Well, what are you going to do with that thing?
Can you not imagine the effect such a demonstration would have on your country, for example?
Gee, you wouldn't dare do anything like that.
That is a foolish remark. And you know it only too well.
Yeah. Well, I guess I do.
Jerry, let us return to our quarters.
It suits me. And if we've got to see things like this all the time, well, I'd just as soon not do any more looking around.